for this.
Thank God it's
Friday. It's
And here we go into a sports weekend, a Friday edition of the Sports Rush. I am Brett Rump, Caleb Hatchett, the producer's chair. It's your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. We have a big two-hour show for you today, leading you up to the high school football Parkview Sports Medicine tailgate pregame show live at Bishop Lures, provided that we don't have a surprise thunderstorm between now and 6 o'clock. So they will be broadcasting just as you enter the stadium tonight. And what we're seeing in the forecast right now should have a little bit of a dry window. Yes, it's going to be gray. Yes, it's humid. But shouldn't have a lot of rain or showers for the next 6 or 7 hours. So hopefully it stays dry for high school football tonight. I don't know what the condition of the field is going to be, because Bishop Lures is one of the fields that has a natural grass surface. Could be pretty wet, pretty sloppy by the time the game gets over. Might be an advantage for the Snyder Panthers, who like to pound it on the ground, where Bishop Lures does have that aerial attack with Carson Clark, Brody Glenn, Antoine Lake. So we'll see. Tonight should be a fun football game and a chance to decide who wins the Summit Athletic Conference. What's at stake if Snyder does win this game tonight? It'll be a tri-championship if Carroll defeats Wayne. Now, if Snyder beats Lures and Carroll falls to the Wayne Generals, Snyder actually can sneak up and claim this title and have it outright. If Bishop Lures wins, it's all Bishop Lures. So I guess that's where it all starts tonight. The Knights trying to wrap up a perfect regular season, a 9-0 record in the Summit Athletic Conference. Not bad for the smallest school in the conference to go through 9-0. And they've had their breaks this year, too. It almost seems like destiny, because that I just keep thinking back to the Homestead game. They were beat that game. Homestead had the ball just a couple of minutes left in the game. Homestead well within field goal range, already leading by a score. And instead of kicking the field goal, Homestead decides to try to put the dagger to them and makes a pass into the end zone. And the middle linebacker for the Bishop Lures Knights, Evan Linker, settled back into his zone coverage, read the quarterback's eyes, picked it off, returned it to the 16-yard line, and Bishop Lures went down the field. And with 16 seconds, or rather 13 seconds to go in the football game, Lures scored to claim a 45-42 win over the Homestead Spartans. That game, that comeback, could actually win Bishop Lures an SAC title. Now, the one scenario, the only scenario for Bishop Lures, because you're going to have some scoreboard watching tonight, the only scenario that completely locks out Bishop Lures is if Wayne beats Carroll. So Bishop Lures is going to be actually somewhat rooting for Carroll, because regardless of the outcome for Lures and Snyder, Lures will at least share the title. Now, I know they don't want to share it. They've been in first place since the beginning of the season, but they can't be left out and disappointed with no championship, no tie championship, nothing, if Carroll defeats Wayne. So, you know, there'll be some scoreboard watching there. Also, a lot of people at Carroll are going to be scoreboard watching, or hopefully tuning in rather than watching the scoreboard. They'll be tuning in to 1380 The Fan's coverage of Snyder Lures to keep up on the score, because if Carroll wins and Snyder wins, then you've got tri-championships, and Carroll out at Carroll High School can celebrate that they'll have a piece of that victory bell. And by the way, I did see this talked about on Twitter today, and I think I mentioned on yesterday's show that if you have a tri-championship, that everybody gets a part of the bell. There's a 9-week season. Everybody gets 3 weeks with the bell. They can paint it. They can do whatever. But in 3 weeks, it goes to the next team in line. And I don't know how they decide who gets the first 3 weeks, who gets the second 3 weeks, who gets the last 3 weeks. But it will be a bell that is split three ways, because if it is Snyder defeating Lures and Carroll winning it against Wayne, you have three teams tied with one loss, all of them with 1-1 records against each other. So three teams would tie for the championship. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine. Text line 46862. Last night, I was busy with the remote back and forth between Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, and the Dodgers, San Francisco. What a great game between the Dodgers and the Giants to have it end with such a disappointing call. Terrible call. Terrible.
Yeah, that was very questionable. However, I mean, for people saying, well, that terrible call blew the series for the Giants. No, the Giants blew the series for themselves because they couldn't score runs on offense. I mean, it was pretty simple. Their pitching was on par with the Dodgers throughout the series, but offensively, it just wasn't there.
And that's the thing. There's a lot of opportunities in baseball that can change a game that one call doesn't necessarily decide the game, but it just happened to be one call that ended the game. And that's where it comes into play and comes into discussion, is it's a bad call, and it was, I thought it was blatantly bad. I mean, in other words, when I watched the play in real time, I thought there was no way he swung, and I thought it was almost ridiculous they were even appealing it, because I thought, that's not even a play you appeal. He got the bat off his shoulder, but not much more, and then they appeal it, and he called him out, and I was just like in disbelief as the Dodgers went into the celebration. I could not believe that that call was made. Now, if it was the other way around, it was a left-handed batter, and they'd appealed it to third base, I would not have been surprised at all, because Angel Hernandez was down at third base. But I don't know who the umpire was at first, but that was not a good call and a disappointing end to what was a terrific series. The series gave us exactly what we expected it to give us, was three games, four games, five games that were all pretty tight. I'm trying to remember all five games. I just know that I think the Dodgers won game two big.
Yeah, I think that was the only game, though, that was won by more than, what, two runs?
Yeah, it was a tight, well-contested series. And overall, most players played well. They just, like you said, the Giants just did not score enough runs in last night's game. They got the pitching. Once again, that Webb dude, man, I don't know where he came from. Never heard of him before this year. But, boy, was he good last night once again. And you got to give credit, too, to Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, because I thought he set up his pitching perfectly. I mean, he got exactly, we debated whether Knebel should be the starter. He was good. I mean, there was no problems with him over what, the first two, three innings. I can't remember now exactly when they made the switch, but they got what they wanted out of their pitching staff. They milked all nine innings and ended up getting it to Max Scherzer to close it instead of Jansen, because, quite honestly, Jansen's been horrible against the Giants this year. Jansen was really good against just about everybody in baseball this season, but he struggled in closing games against the Giants. So maybe it just worked out perfect. They were able to put Scherzer out there to finish it off. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. Dodgers Braves. Should I ask who you like in this one, Caleb? To me, it's like, okay.
Dodgers, no doubt.
Baseball lost its appeal a little bit when you've got Tampa Bay out of it, you've got the Yankees out of it, and you've got the Giants out of it. It's like some of the teams that really shine during the regular season or have a tradition of success in the postseason, those big names are gone. I don't think it's going to be much of a series. I think the Dodgers clearly a better team than the Braves. I'll give the Braves a win in this one. Maybe they find a way to win a game, but I can't see the Braves winning more than one time against the Dodgers.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers swept the Braves in this series. I mean, on the ALCS side, it's at least interesting. Houston's really, really good. Boston has outperformed what people expected of them all season.
You got the connection with the manager.
Cora, that too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it should be a closer series. I still expect Houston and L.A. to meet again. The rematch.
bang the trash cans.
Yeah.
Here they come.
That's right.
46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. You know, after last season, when it was the COVID year, where you didn't have fans, and then you had limited fans, and it was just so many restrictions due to COVID protocols last year for the Comets. This year, after last year, they never had a COVID case. They went through the year without a single case of COVID. Already now, it was announced today that they have had positive tests. I don't know if they said exactly how many, but there were positive tests among the Comet players this morning. And so, using a quote, another one of our catchphrases that has become popular over the last year, using an abundance of caution, the The Comets are not going to play their weekend series against Wheeling, so they will not have their preseason exhibition games. I don't know who this hurts, if it hurts the fans who are trying to learn this team or if it hurts the players trying to make the team. I think it probably hurts the players more that they're not going to have a chance to get out on the ice and show what they can do in an actual competition against someone else. But the Comets, and I guess the other question is, what's this going to mean for the Comets' practices? I don't know what the protocol is going to be if the Comets had to shut it down for a few days because of positive tests. Clearly, there's been some close contacts. We don't know the status of vaccinated, non-vaccinated. We don't know that with the Comets, but kind of crazy to go that entire year a year ago and never have a single case of COVID, but yet first week of gathering and preseason practices before you even get to your first preseason game and already positive tests. It just kind of makes you aware COVID is real. It is out there. And if you don't protect yourself or be careful in large gatherings, yes, you may actually catch it.
And let's remember, they had a game last season canceled due to health and safety protocols, but it was the other team. So, and the Comets actually had to forfeit that game
because they refused to go play.
Exactly. It was a weird mess, weird situation. Hopefully shenanigans like that don't happen this season.
46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. We got Shane coming up this hour, don't we? Shane Alberani, voice of the Comets. We'll have to talk to him. We were going to talk preview of this weekend series against Wheeling. Now we'll just find out what's happening at camp and what's ahead for the Comets. Are they going to be able to practice? Do they have to wait and go through tests? Do they have to determine close contacts? And is there a vaccination status that's going to affect this? It's interesting because you're a week away basically from getting the season started, and we'll have to find out from Shane what this means for the Fort Wayne Comets. He'll be joining us coming up at about 4:35. In our next hour, we're going to talk Indiana football against Michigan State. Hoosiers get back to action with a big one at home against the Spartans. It's a noon kickoff, and Dustin Dopierak is going to join us coming up at about 5:20. Also, replay of our high school football picks of the week comes your way around 5:45. And as we said, we're taking your text 46862. 46862 on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Caleb, we got big news. We got a big prize to give away.
That's right.
Colts tickets. Sunday's game. Okay, I'm going to get tricky. We're going to do this on the text line today. I'm not going to make you go through any extra energy on a Friday. I know you like to kind of chill on Fridays, Caleb. So we're not going to make you go through answering the phone and taking caller number 9. We're going to actually do it by text. So 46862 is the number to text us, and all you have to do is text us who the Colts are playing on Sunday. Well, see, that's the way we know that it's a real fan, and it's not just somebody that dials the number and has no idea what they're even calling to win. Tell us who the Colts are playing on Sunday, the name of the team, and it can be first, last, middle, whatever you want to name it. We'll get it. And what we're going to do is pick one of those texts that has the correct answer randomly to win 2 tickets?
I believe so. That is my understanding.
2 tickets to the Colts game coming up this Sunday against somebody. And if you know who that somebody is, all you have to do is text us the name of that team, and we will put you into the random drawing to win the 2 tickets to the game down at Lucas Oil Stadium this Sunday. It's been forever since the Colts have had a home game. 4 weeks, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been one this month. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a while. So you can enjoy Colts football. 1 o'clock kickoff this Sunday, right?
Yep, taking on the...
No. We'll have to go to the text line to find out who we're playing, because Caleb, you and I don't know. So if you know who the Colts are playing this Sunday, text it to us. You got a chance to win 2 tickets to the Colts game. And we'll do that. We'll do that all the way up until 5 o'clock, and then we'll pick a winner. So go ahead and give us a text. So you don't have to, like, because one thing I don't want to do is make people think they've got to rush and try to text us while they're driving. You don't have to do that. We're going to take the text up until 5 o'clock. It's not first text wins. So take your time. Text us who the Colts are playing before 5 o'clock, and then we'll pick a winner and we'll announce it sometime around the top of the hour. 46862. That's the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. 46862. Back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Glad to have you with us as we head into week 9 of high school football. Did anybody mention the great weather we were having on Friday nights for high school football? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I don't know. Somebody jinxed it, because we had, what, 7 weeks of great weather. And then last week, it was a little shaky. We had the lightning in the area. It actually stopped a few of the games here in Fort Wayne. And then the last 24 hours or so, it hasn't exactly been dry. It's not really raining right now. There's just a few drips coming out of the clouds. Is that the definition of rain? If there's a drip or two coming out of the clouds? I mean, it's not anything that's gonna cause any problems or anything, other than you might feel something wet hit your head. But there is really not much as far as rain right now. But I will say this, fields are probably saturated if they're a grass surface. And I don't know if that's going to change any games tonight. It certainly could be a somewhat advantage, a small advantage to the Snyder Panthers. But, you know, because I think the physicality at the line of scrimmage becomes a little more important when you're taking a field that's not in great shape, because it's very hard to run wide and cut outside the numbers when the field, especially a grass field, gets really wet. It's number one, slippery, or number two, it's muddy. And so we'll see what happens tonight with the Bishop Lewis Knights hosting the Snyder Panthers. We've got all your coverage. Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate pregame show. Still planning to be there live and in person right before the game, starting at 6 o'clock. Jim, Shannon, and Dute with your previews of tonight's high school football action. And then Shannon Griffith and I have the play-by-play call of Snyder Bishop Lewis. Now, remember, if you're heading to Carroll, you might have an interest in this game, so I would recommend taking your mobile device and maybe your ear pods so that you can listen to the game while you watch your Carroll Chargers play Wayne. That way you'll know exactly what's happening as far as championship opportunities. But we'll have coverage. It's streaming at 1380thefan.com and also on some popular sites, apps, where you listen to your favorite radio stations. 46862, that's the number to text us. Of course, we're asking who the Colts are playing this Sunday. If you do know who the Colts are playing, text it to us, because it'll give you a chance to win 2 tickets to the Colts game this Sunday against whoever it is you know they're playing. So text us, 46862. We're going to take your text up until 5 o'clock, and then we'll randomly select one correct answer to win 2 tickets to the Colts game this Sunday down at Lucas Oil Stadium. Last night, NFL action. Tampa Bay beat the Eagles 28-22. Didn't seem like the game was really all that close. And then Philadelphia made a little bit of a comeback, made it kind of interesting late. And more important, they made it a bad beat for those of you that took Tampa Bay and gave the points. Caleb, did you watch this game? Because it was really meaningless, meaningless scores late.
No, I focused my attention on the baseball game.
I was watching this up until the point it was, I believe, 28-7 is what it was at one point. And not only did the Eagles score to make it 28-14, but then when they scored again, they actually went for two, which for some bettors, that actually was covering the line. The second point on the two-point try actually lost for some of the bettors that took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because there were 6.5-point lines out there. And the game ends up being a 6-point game. So some people took bad beats last night on Tampa Bay. Not me. Caleb, did you see the post on Twitter? I tell you, when I win big on my FanDuel Sportsbook app, you can just about guarantee I'm going to put it out there.
But what'd you bet? Like $5?
I know. I'm such a cheap bettor. I usually don't show what my bet amount is. I just show that it's a winning ticket, but I don't like to show what I bet. Last night, though, I splurged. I felt really confident last night, and it's not a bet I normally place, but last night I was feeling so good that I went ahead and put 20 on a same game parlay. Now, you hear me talking about these same game parlays. I'll tell you, it's a great way to put some money down and get a big payout. You want to know what my same game parlay was? Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the money line. I wasn't giving up any points. I was just taking Tampa Bay to win. So that's ding ding, a check mark. I took Tom Brady to throw for over 250 yards. And here was the great thing. You can go in and you can choose whether you want to have Tom Brady throw for 200, over 250, over 225, over 275. You can choose the number of yards that you feel comfortable betting, and everything, of course, has certain odds associated with it. I felt comfortable that he would exceed 250 yards of passing. That was bet number two. To complete my same game parlay, my three-legged parlay, Leonard Fournette, anytime touchdown score. I think he got two. Did he get one or did he get two? I know when he got the first one, I was money in the bank because I felt at that point that I was confident Tampa Bay was going to win. And that by halftime, Tom Brady had thrown for about 190 yards. So I felt pretty good that Tom Brady was going to go over 250. And so, ching, ching, my 20 turned into 60. That's the way you win. That's the way you play. Good night for me. I got some, I got my eye on a few college games too. I'll talk about that coming up later in the show. I'm all of a sudden now Jimmy the Greek going to start passing out some betting advice. You know, when you win, you feel like you can't lose. Like every, you know, like everybody wants to know your recommendations because you hit one win. People, be smarter than that. I'm not a better. I didn't get better at this game just because I hit one. By the way, kind of interesting timing. After the Colts blew that game against Baltimore, Jim Irsay comes out and tweets. Did you see this, Caleb?
Yes.
He is making a guarantee to Colts fans. Two Lombardis heading to Indy in the next decade.
All right. Well, you're going to need a revamped defense. You're probably going to need a better quarterback that you're going to have to draft because you're not going to trade or sign a quarterback in free agency that's going to be Super Bowl winning
caliber. Is Carson
caliber.
Wentz a franchise quarterback?
No, because he's not a top 10 NFL quarterback.
Okay, but okay, what's the difference between franchise quarterback and elite quarterback? Is there a difference?
To me, elite quarterbacks are guys who are the top five in the game. So right now, that's Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen, and then that last spot could be
Herbert.
Up for debate. Yeah, it could be Herbert. I mean, you could argue, you know, Lamar Jackson. You could argue a few guys for that fifth spot. Franchise quarterback to me is you're in that top 10 to 12 where they want to hold on to you long term. You know, so your Dak Prescott's,
Russell Wilson probably to that.
I mean, you could argue Russell Wilson is top five quarterback pretty easily. I get the young guys are playing well. Just because Russell Wilson's team is playing poorly doesn't mean that he's been awful.
No. And, of course, Seattle, we know their problems for the Seattle Seahawks are and have been defense, and the Colts couldn't take advantage of that. Colts could not convert in the red zone, which, they really defensively probably held Seattle to a number that would make it a winnable game for the Colts. And you look back on it and you think, boy, the Colts should have found ways to score more points than 16 against that Seattle defense. It's like what we know now that we didn't know then makes us change our opinion of how the Colts played that day. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Is Baker Mayfield a franchise quarterback?
He is a guy who's
more
on
margin
the,
for yeah. franchise than elite.
Yeah, he's on the cusp. I think if they decide to keep him long-term, then the Browns have decided he's a franchise quarterback. Now, to me, it's debatable. I mean, he's a guy on the cusp. I mean, Roethlisberger clearly has been a franchise quarterback for the Steelers. Now, he's obviously on the downside of his career and probably won't play much longer in the league, but he's been that guy.
And he would have had a, what, 8, 9, 10-year stretch where he probably would have been considered in the elite category.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Dak Prescott, franchise quarterback, not elite. Really good, though. And, you know, Matthew Stafford, he's a franchise quarterback. I mean, not quite elite, but really good. To me, Carson Wentz, the comparison, it's pretty obvious. Kirk Cousins. I mean, they're kind of like, yeah, they have different skill sets maybe a little bit, but they're the same kind of quarterback where they're definitely top 20, probably top 15, but they're not higher than 12th.
See, and I would have put Wentz on the line of like a Baker Mayfield, a guy that sometimes tries to make plays that aren't there because he just wants to make plays. Sometimes he's prone to make a mistake or a head-scratching decision. And that's what you have to hold your breath with when you're watching Carson Wentz every time he drops back to throw it, that it's not going to be some crazy decision or an errant throw, or he's going to try to make a hero play. And sometimes you feel that way about Baker Mayfield, because the way Cleveland is built is much like what the Colts are trying to be built like. They're trying to get that high-level defense. They're trying to get a high-grade running game. Offensive line, they've put a lot of money and attention into their offensive line in Cleveland. I think the Browns have kind of assembled a roster and a team identity that is very similar to what the Colts are trying to be. Then the question becomes, who's got the better quarterback? I don't know if I'm really sure right now, because I'm not the guy that's the highest on Baker Mayfield, and I think the jury is still out on Carson Wentz. I don't think Wentz has been the problem in the 1-4 start, but I certainly don't think he's a guy that's going to make you overperform either. You know, I mean, the thing with Wentz is you've got to hope he doesn't make the mistakes that cost you games. But I don't know that you're going to get a lot of games that you win because of Wentz. Because if you look at Monday's game, if there was ever a game that you could say Colts won that because they had Carson Wentz, Monday would have been the game. The guy threw for 400 yards, and yet the Colts didn't win. So it's not like, and the Colts didn't have enough confidence in him to keep the gas on or get the foot on the pedal and keep the gas rolling. I mean, that to me, that was part of the problem too, is the Colts haven't gotten to the point where they trust him, you know, in that 3rd-and-8 situation. That's a situation to me that if you've got a franchise guy, certainly if you have an elite guy, but if you have what you think is a franchise guy and you have that 3rd-and-8 with a chance to put the game away, that's where you trust the quarterback to make a play. And the Colts didn't have that trust in Carson Wentz. They ran the football instead, having more faith in the clock running out and their defense getting a stop. And they're making a mistake to believe they've got an elite defense, because right now the Colts don't have an elite defense, whether it's injuries or what. That is not an elite defense. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. And you're right. It's going to take a lot for Jim Irsay to find two Lombardis out of the next decade, because, you know, you look at what Arizona just did. I mean, Arizona sensed that they were going to have to be better where they needed to be better. They had a young quarterback. They wanted to give him all the weapons that they could. They went out, got DeAndre Hopkins. They draft Rondale Moore. And then they make the signing today, or the trade today, where they get Zach Ertz. He just scored a touchdown last night for Philadelphia, and he's heading out of town today to go to Arizona. So can Ertz play 2 games this week? I don't think you're eligible to play 2 games. I do think he gets the time off. But it's interesting, if he gets traded between a Thursday night game and a Sunday game, would he be eligible to suit up and play for Arizona on Sunday? 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Got to take a break. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Shane Alberani from the Comets about the latest news that the Comets had to cancel their weekend series with Wheeling due to COVID. We've got Shane standing by. And don't forget, Colts have a home game coming up this Sunday. We've got tickets. You could win them. All you have to do is text us at 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862, who the Colts are playing this Sunday. And we will randomly select one correct answer to win the tickets coming up at 5 o'clock. So when you get a chance, safely text us who the Colts are playing this Sunday, and you could be a winner of 2 tickets to the Colts game this Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. A 1 o'clock kick, but I can't tell you who they're playing until after 5 o'clock. I can tell you this, who the Comets are playing. No one! They're supposed to play Wheeling tonight and tomorrow. And unfortunately for the Comets, they won't be having preseason exhibition games because COVID has reared its ugly head. And the Comets are not going to be able to travel to Wheeling nor host Wheeling coming up tomorrow night. To talk about it, we're joined on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline by the voice of the Comets, Shane Alberani. Kind of a bummer, Shane, after such a clean year, that this ends up sneaking up and biting the Comets today.
Yeah, hard to believe. You know, we are the only team in the league last year that didn't have a single positive test, and here we are before the first exhibition game, and we got some bad news. And unfortunately, you know, we're not going to be able to play this weekend, but, you know, hopefully everything's under control and we'll be able to get everything going next Saturday night at home.
What about protocols as far as practice now? Is there, I mean, do they have to go through? And, I, you know, we hear all the NFL protocols, vaccinated versus non-vaccinated and all of that, but what are the protocols for the ECHL? Are they club by club? Is there a uniform policy now as far as what the Comets can do, as far as getting together and practicing? What do they have to do next?
Essentially training camp is going to be shut down until Monday. I believe they're going to retest everybody on Monday and see where we sit. But we've all kind of voluntarily kind of gone back into the bubble that we were in last year for right now. So, yeah, I mean, it is kind of team by team, considering, you know, the situation we're in. So we're going to be a lot more cautious in doing things, you know, and just wearing masks and kind of, you know, keeping within our own group here for the next probably week up until opening night. So, but no, we're going to be very vigilant. And again, you know, hopefully everything is going to go well, and we'll have a great 70th anniversary celebration come Saturday night.
Talking to Shane Alberani, voice of the Comets, who is joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. And yes, it is a week from Saturday. The Comets will be at home to open their 70th anniversary season. Hard to believe it's been 70 years. But let's talk about this camp so far, what we've learned about this edition of the Comets, because there's a lot of unfamiliar faces. I mean, new faces that have come in. There's not a large nucleus of returning players from last year. But what can you tell us? I mean, as far as what you've seen, your impressions, early impressions of this group?
Well, they're going to be a very fast team. I'll tell you what, Drake Rimshaw, you know, in practice and even during the scrimmage Wednesday night, he was probably the best skater out on the ice. I mean, he was just flying around. So were the Jones brothers as well. And you get Stephen Harper back. He was sent back down by Chicago, and he was arguably your best skater last year. So, no, this team is going to be – it's actually pretty big as well. When you take a look at a lot of the heights, you see 6'5", 6'3", you know, so and 6'2", so you're going to have a big team that can also skate. So, but losing these two exhibition games is really going to be hurt because, you know, the Comets weren't going to make very many cuts. It's a very short camp, so pretty much – you know, this is what you're going to have. And now without those exhibition games, you're not going to have those two chances to really gel and to figure out who's going to be playing where.
Shane, what about the moves? I'm trying to find them real quick, but I know there were a couple of moves you mentioned. Harper is back, but there's also a defenseman that was assigned, and I was surprised. Is it from Hershey?
Yes, Will Graber from Hershey.
How does that happen, by the way? That's not a partner of the Comets. How does Hershey end up putting a guy into Fort Wayne?
Well, it's, you know, every team in the ECHL is technically a free agent. It doesn't really matter that you work with an affiliate. You just work with them. It's a working agreement, and that's really all what it is. But any team can place any player anywhere. So that's where a good relationship is with Ben and the organization in Hershey. You know, Will Graber apparently was just going to be the odd man out in Hershey, and he's going to fall into Fort Wayne. And you know, he's a big 6'5" defenseman. Skated 20 games last year in Hershey. He played 11 in the ECHL with South Carolina, so he's familiar with the league. But the Comets desperately needed that defenseman with Blake Siebenhaller up in Henderson, and with Vegas being very short on defenseman, he might be there a while, so this is going to be a very good move for Thomas.
What about goaltending? I actually saw the name Dylan Ferguson pop up again as a possibility back here in Fort Wayne. What do you know, and when will the Comets learn who's coming to Fort Wayne?
We'll probably find out next week. You know, we're hoping that Dylan Ferguson, you know, gets his shot in Henderson and even in the NHL as well. He certainly earned that, but you know, even if the Comets don't get another goaltender, Stefanos Lekas and Sam Harvey, boy, from what I've seen, we know what Lekas can do. Harvey is also a solid prospect. So the Comets on the back end are really, really good defending the net. So goaltending won't be an issue. And if you throw in another goaltender from from Henderson or Vegas, you know what, that's just going to make it that much better. But now you've got competing. You got a lot of ice time out there that someone is going to miss out on. So, but that's a good problem to have. So goaltending is going to be very solid. You've got a very strong core of forwards, but you've got a little bit of question marks there on the back end without Steven Aller. You've got a rookie in Josh Owings right now, and Jameson Milan, who hadn't played in a year and a half. You know, he's 38 years old, coming back, trying to make a comeback. So, you know, there's some question marks back at the blue line, but you know, it's all going to work itself out. You know, you lose those two exhibition games, and it's a shame, but it is what it is. The Comets didn't have any exhibition games last year, so it may take a couple games to get everybody on the same page, but hopefully, you know what, we get off to a good start.
One of the things that's important with exhibition games, though, is just seeing guys in an actual game setting against an opponent, because usually that evaluation process leads to cutting down the roster. Where are the Comets at as far as what kind of roster cuts they need to make by when, and how has that changed now, perhaps, with the COVID situation?
Yeah, not really sure, actually, to tell you the truth. It's going to depend on what happens with the players that tested positive. And, you know, we're still awaiting players to drop back down from Vegas or from wherever. Like I said, you know, they're still making cuts at the AHL level, so there still could be some more players trickling down. So really, this camp could look a little different even by Monday or Tuesday. So it's going to be a real fun 7 days here before we get the season going.
We've mentioned this, and I hate to ask the question because it sounds so personal, but yet it applies when it comes to sports as far as availability. Players test positive. What is the protocol? Is there a different protocol for a vaccinated player versus a non-vaccinated player?
You know what? I really can't even answer that question. All I know is that we are treating it as a positive test, and everyone has to kind of behave accordingly. So we're being ultra conservative with everything. You know, everyone is now, you know, like I said, camp is shut down for a couple of days. So hopefully when we get back in to the Coliseum on Monday, we do the test and everything comes up negative. So no, we're really, the organization is really taking strides here, big time here, because we know how close we're getting to opening night, and we also know how important it is to keep everybody healthy and safe. So we're going to reevaluate everything come Monday.
How close have you been? Are you concerned about yourself?
I really have not been around the guys much. I've been in the building. I've watched a couple practices and the scrimmage. But as for me actually really having any interaction with the players, I've had minimum. We had our launch of training camp last Sunday night. That was the only night I really had any real close contact with any of the players, other than just with Coach Ben Boudreau and Coach Lego. I really have not been around anybody, so I'm not really too concerned, but I'm going to go right kind of into that bubble myself, because you know, I was allowed at the end of the season to get back on the road, and I certainly want to be able to keep on doing that when the season starts.
Well, good luck to everybody. I hope certainly it's isolated and it doesn't become something that spreads any further. So best of luck to the Comets in that regard. Best wishes for the guys that did test positive, that it's mild and that they can get back sooner rather than later. Tough news not to have the games this weekend, but we still look forward to the opening night coming up a week from Saturday. Appreciate it, Shane.
All right, thanks, Brett. And there's tickets available. Come on out Saturday night and get to the Coliseum.
There you go. Shane Alberani. Pitching the product. Get your tickets right now. Comet Hockey. The hottest ticket in town. What? I'm trying to think what there's. I was trying to think. Are they still using the hottest ticket in town?
Yeah, and Chuck Bailey cuts in with health and safety in mind. Still, yes. The hottest ticket in town.
There you go. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Don't forget, if you text us who the Colts are playing this Sunday, you could win two tickets to see the Colts play. We've got two tickets we're giving away. All you have to do is text 46862, that's the number, who the Colts are playing this weekend. We will randomly select one of the correct texts to win two tickets to the Colts game Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Podcasts by Federated Media.